Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is great to be here. This is another Wellness Wednesday, and this is Elder Care Radio. We're helping seniors live their best life, providing information, resources, and support as you navigate this difficult healthcare system.
Good morning, everyone. We're excited to be here and excited about the season that is upcoming, and we hope you're all enjoying your time off, and or if you don't have time off, enjoying the season and the feeling that's in the air.
Right. And it's interesting. I hope that the hustle has kind of subsided now, and we've gotten everything done so that we can kind of focus on maybe the better part of the season. But if you're still rushing around trying to accomplish things, we're right there with you because we are not at that point. But, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about this, and I think...
A little bit. We didn't finish. It's an exciting time with the holiday season to talk about.
Before you start, can I thank you for sending your massage therapist over?
Oh,
it was awesome. Peggy, I think is her name.
Peggy, she's wonderful.
She did a fantastic job.
Oh, good.
And she was sensitive to the fact that I have a sore leg. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, that hurts when you touch my leg. She's like, okay, I'll just gently brush your leg. And,
yeah.
But she did a really, really good job. And I'm so appreciative that you guys do that
know.
For me.
Thank you. We really take a lot of time and go through a lot of interviewing. And mm-hmm. we actually have our massage therapists have to massage several of our different clinicians, mm-hmm. And then we each kind of talk about if you know how they dealt with our patient, you know, with their patient mm-hmm. being the clinician, how if they were sensitive to fragile areas or vulnerable areas, if they took an interest in really making them feel better by the end. And
I give her A plus on all those
I love it.
Categories.
So. I love it. I'm glad that you agree with us, that she's phenomenal. And we're proud to say that we are very, very careful about who we employ. We really want to make sure that they are very well-rounded, capable of dealing with the many, many different diverse needs of our senior community.
Yeah.
We really think that who comes into your home it's so, so important to us. We never hire out of desperation. We really take the time to find the perfect people. So thank you for that comment.
And being adaptive, I think, is the important thing because mm-hmm. a clinician can be very good at, let's say, deep tissue massage, but that's... In your case, on your leg, that would have not been effective.
Yeah, no, that would have been awful.
Right.
And it's really the end result. And that end result needs to be that the patient feels much better.
Right.
Not that we spent the hours, not that we, you know, did the steps, but that the patient can actually say, yeah, we feel much better because of this palliative care. And that's the goal of all palliative care should be, that people feel better having access to it.
And for so many people, and we heard this just this week, you have it's a little awkward sometimes to invite somebody in your home and to feel so vulnerable on a table and allow them to touch you, mm-hmm. which is very personal and very uncomfortable.
It was only my second massage ever in my mm-hmm. life, and so for me I was very apprehensive, but she made me very comfortable and It was a non-issue. You know,
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. That's important to us. Thank mm-hmm. you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Going back to...
All right, sorry to interrupt.
No,
it was a good interruption. Appreciate that. So going back to the holiday season, and again, we hope that everybody's getting the opportunity to be more involved in the things that are important instead of the things that seem to take all of our time. For all the different faiths, you know, things are different, but this is still, you know, the season of celebration.
And I think that's important to remember. It doesn't matter what your faith is or non-faith is. This is a season that just generally elicits a lot of compassion and concern for others. It seems that it's just in the air. I love this time of year because even driving down the road, it seems that people are just aware, a little bit more kind, a little bit more willing to let people in and share the road. And just from driving into personal interactions, people tend to be should I say, a little bit kinder at this time of year, a little bit more aware of others, and I love that.
We at least want to believe that we are, and yeah. I think that's important. And as we,
but I feel it.
Yeah, and as we start to gather with family and friends, you know, it's a great time to share and to, you know, to enjoy their company. And so we've got a couple of different things that, you know, we'd like to discuss. One is, and I think this is important, if you are meeting with family and friends, and you have an opportunity to record the stories that they tell, you don't have to set up big video cameras. You don't even have to use the camera on your phone. But if everybody's sitting around and grandma's telling some stories, and you can just pull your phone out and record that, there will come a time that will be extremely beneficial for not just you, but the rest of your family, that they still can go back and hear that voice and appreciate that. And then on the other side of that is when we're meeting with family, be aware of changes that can happen for people. Certainly we may notice some things, you know, if grandma's slowing down, you know, if she's having a hard time getting out of bed in the morning and is really exhausted, those are indications that maybe things aren't right and they should may have some access to some help. And this is the part that we want to talk about, is that there are services and benefits available. What we do is available
usually
for those people who need
free.
It.
Yeah. Usually free.
Yeah. And so if you don't take advantage of it, then you just lose that benefit. And so if you have that opportunity to find a place where hospice can be useful or palliative care can be useful, whether that's here locally or anywhere in the country, if you're traveling to Atlanta for the holiday season and you're visiting there and you have a question, feel free to give our office a call. We will try and answer that for you.
Right. So a couple of important points. Sometimes we may notice that grandma or grandpa or our mother or father is slowing down a little bit. And we may comment, aw, you know, look, did you notice mom? She had a really hard time getting up and it just seems like she's, you know, having some difficulties. But we don't really take the time to process what that means daily. Remember that when you're visiting over the holiday season, your loved one is exerting themselves beyond their normal day-to-day, and they seem far more capable probably than their day-to-day tasks. And when loved ones are coming around, we have that excitement and that surge of adrenaline that allows us to do more than our routine daily living can allow us to do. So if you're noticing that when you're visiting during their excitement to see you, then just imagine what it's probably like when you leave and they're alone and they're struggling perhaps with your father or a loved one or on their own. Are their day-to-day tasks becoming overwhelming? And if so, do them a favor and find out if there are resources available, again, probably for free. Medicare has an incredible palliative program that people are not fully aware of yet. Find out if there are resources to help them. Is it just help with doing their daily living activities? Is it keeping their home clean for them? Is mom able to get on the floor and clean the floors anymore? Is mom able to climb up and keep the, you know, her little figurines dusted off of the top shelf anymore? Is mom struggling to make sure that food is healthy? Or is she just taking whatever it is that she can find in the refrigerator? Perhaps she needs help with managing and preparing meals. And we are all so busy with our daily lives that sometimes we don't truly take that time to take a deep breath to consider what we can do to help our mom. And if we don't have the time, there are other resources available and people that do have the time. That is their profession, to help them. So reach out and find out what services are available from here to New York.
We'll even go to Maine. We will cover Maine.
Find the palliative provisions that are available. If you know they're available, you have the right to ask for them. So reach out to us. We'd love to help.
Some other things that you might notice, if you're aware, you know, when we talk to our family members about past experiences, you know, a long time ago, their memory may be perfect. But if we can see that they're struggling just a little bit with current memories, maybe they're having a hard time finding a word or words, and so they use more generalized terms. he, she, they, instead of putting names to it, if you notice that, that's an indication that their memory issues are creeping up on them. Now, we as human beings and as mammals or as sentient beings or whatever have the ability to adapt and protect ourselves from those issues. I mean, we can appear to be normal even when we are struggling. And that's where, you know, we adapt our language for the words that are in our vocabulary.
Survival techniques.
So if you just are sensitive and aware that those kind of things are happening, then at least there's the foundation for a conversation about, you know, how to take care of that. If you need to talk to the Alzheimer's Association, or if you, you know, want some resources to find out what can be done, then that's a good place to look. And again, just call our office, 435-477-6999. And we'd love to talk to you and see if we can find resources wherever you are, because we care about this community and everybody that you guys love. We would like to have better care nationwide, and we are just focused right now on Southern Utah. But that doesn't mean that we wouldn't do everything we can for everybody else.
Right. Information is power. So although we are only serving Southern Utah at this time, these resources are a federal benefit. So we can give you the information necessary to find the resources available wherever your loved one lives. But then I always say, boy, bring them here to Southern Utah, where we have beautiful weather, where we have, you know, great community efforts and events to help. But remember, it doesn't matter if it's your loved one is suffering with an Alzheimer's or a dementia-related illness, if they have ALS or Parkinson's disease, neurological disease, they might have a lung disease like COPD or heart disease, AIDS, liver disease, cancers, anything that is life-limiting. There are likely resources available to you. We are Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, emphasis on palliative care, because that's the expanded Medicare provision that we are the first to introduce in Southern Utah. Yes, people have added the term palliative or that word to their name. Find out what they're truly offering, because it is very expanded, diverse, and unique. Give our office a call and compare so that you know what services you are entitled to that you may or may not already be getting. Our office number is?
435-477. It's the easiest number in the world. If on the left-hand side, it's a 4 and then a 77. You don't even have to reach all the way up to that top row. And then on the right-hand side, it's just 6999. It's so comfortable and so easy to call.
435-477-6999. That's it.
Now, you mentioned, you know, that if you have a loved one who may be struggling wherever they are and you suggested bringing them home, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who just had this, you know, this clenched up feeling, that's too much.
Too much.
But if you have assisted care coming in, if we can come in and provide a lot of the care to relieve some of that burden, then you have that opportunity to just share good times and memories and be able to love and care for them. And that can be a great experience. And so we would highly recommend that you at least call us and we'll talk about it, you know, let you know what resources are available so that if that was a consideration, you said, hey, maybe we should bring mom home because Northern Utah is just, you know, too cold and bitter and all the things that you don't like about Northern Utah.
You can visit for all those things that you do love about Northern Utah.
Right. And you can bring her or him into the home and share some good times, then that may be a great opportunity. We'd love to support that. Or, you know, there are places that can take your loved one if you can't, and we can still provide care even if they're in a facility, whether that's an independent living or an assisted living facility or a skilled nursing facility, memory care. We do a lot with memory care facilities. So, and we would just love to be able to provide an added layer of service above and beyond anything they can get elsewhere.
Right. Should we talk about something fun now?
Okay.
Okay. So many of us have Christmas traditions, whether it's Christmas or Hanukkah or
Kwanzaa
or whatever your belief is at this time of year or celebration is at this time of year. Traditions go back for hundreds of years. And this is always a fun topic for us. But because we deal with our seniors, we sent our clinicians out this, the last, I guess, since, you know, Thanksgiving, talking to them, reminding them, to give them their opportunity to express what they miss about Christmases past or what their childhood traditions are. And it's, we found out so many, have heard so many interesting tales. Andy, traditions of Christmas past.
On the spot.
Go way back to your childhood.
Well, you know, we were obviously the pajamas on Christmas Eve was a big one. I know a lot of people do that. We got to open one present on Christmas Eve. And funny, they were always in front and my parents always steered us to a certain one because they knew where the pajamas were. So that was certainly a Christmas.
So it wasn't
tradition.
Pajamas and a gift. It was
just pajamas. That was the gift. Yeah. Right. You always knew, oh man, I selected the pajamas again.
How did that happen? Yeah, I don't know what happened here. But,
so fun.
Yeah, that was a great tradition we had. Something we established in my own family was driving around looking at Christmas lights on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And then we would come home, and even though it's 10:30 at night, we'd come home and everybody would have hot cocoa. And then the kids would try to sleep. Now, I don't know what I was thinking, because you have little kids, you give them hot cocoa at 10:30 at night, and then you tell them, Santa's coming, go to sleep now.
Yeah, I know. That's what are our
not
thoughts?
A good idea. But incredible lights. And I'm fortunate enough, I raised all my kids here in St. George area, and so we've been doing that tradition of looking at the Christmas lights in St. George area for, you know, ever since 1993. So,
and I know there's a way, and I can't believe I don't have this, but there's a website you can go on and download a list of all the people that, like a parade of Christmas homes that have really gone above and beyond. You can add your name to that list, your home to that list, if you do a lot with decorating the exterior of your home. But it's a incredible. We have such a festive community here. There are so many homes. We couldn't make them all in one night. Pretty incredible.
You've kind of forced us into, if somebody calls and says, I need that list, we're going to have to find that list.
I have it, actually.
She has it somewhere.
Yeah, I do. I actually have it at home. I should have brought it. I can't believe I didn't bring that website to give to you. But call our office and we'll give that website to you so that you can download the list of all the homes, people that have done, you know, gone above and beyond just lights. I mean, there's music playing outside. There's just so many activities going.
A lot of them have a little radio station you can tune into that go with that, kind of coordinate with the lights. And that's pretty cool.
Oh, really?
One other tradition we had on Christmas morning when we opened gifts, we actually, one person at a time picks a gift, and the only rule we have, we go youngest to oldest, you can't pick your own gift. So we'll send the youngest to grab a present. If it has their name on it, they have to put it back and get something else. And then they deliver it to whoever his name is on that gift. And that's been a fun tradition over the years, too.
That is kind of fun, but I fear that I might have, while you might have the value the same, you might have the same amount of presents. Oh. I cannot believe how expensive teenagers' gifts are.
I know. Tell me about it.
Well, I've always wanted to implement the, okay, so we're just going to hand one person a gift. We're going to let them open it. We'll all wait. And then once they've opened it and we've all talked about it, then we'll pick one more gift. It's never happened that way in our family. No. But I know that it would last longer than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
If we did that.
Instead, chaos, huh?
Yeah, okay, let's organize, let's get these presents distributed, and then let's just tear into them.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I had a family that was so excited that, I mean, they were going to bubble and pop if you just made them sit there and, you know, drag out the present opening that way. It was just, ooh. But isn't it always interesting how many of your kids open the presents and then shoot around the floor in the box and not play with the
presents.
So, Andy, what traditions have you tried to expunge from your holiday?
Yeah, old-fashioned traditions.
Get rid of them. I'm an old-school guy, so I like to keep as many traditions alive as I can in the family. I've taken down from my mom and dad, and before that, my grandparents. And one of the things I like when you were talking about earlier, one Christmas, we were able to set up a video camera for my grandma and grandpa. And my grandpa led an amazing life. He was a sprint car owner. He was a fire chief. He was he'd done all these amazing things. But none of it was down on paper anywhere. And so we had my grandma and grandpa sit down and tell me stories from growing up.
I love that.
A very, very great idea that you have there, because I treasure that now. You know, that was gosh, that was probably in the 80s that we did the video, yeah. Maybe in the 90s, and we still have it. It's amazing.
One of our family traditions is my mother put together a small book of Christmas stories, and we kept collecting them over the years, and so we just have just like a little three-ring folder of Christmas stories from the past.
Well, and even more than Christmas stories. I mean, Ugly Kitty's in there. And
no, that's not separate... in there. That's just one that our son Teague every year says, okay, don't read Ugly Kitty. But then he pulls it out and reads Ugly Kitty.
So stories like The Christmas Orange and, you know, those kind of stories that are more meaningful than they are commercial.
It's amazing. So every year, right after Thanksgiving, we start reading these Christmas stories, and it's amazing the message in the stories, right? Mm-hmm. So even if it's not specifically talking about Christmas, it's talking about the spirit of love and giving and selflessness. My kids absolutely love that tradition. Annie and Willie's Christmas, A Different Kind of Christmas, just really old Christmas stories.
The Gift of the Magi is one of my favorites.
Yes. Yeah. So that's always been a lot of fun for our family. I think that's the tradition that at least my daughter will definitely carry on. As a matter of fact, she just got married in October, and we started the Christmas stories and, you know, after Thanksgiving. And she said to me at the end of Christmas, don't pack this book away. I need it because I have to copy it for my family, and I want to make it a copy for all of my brothers. And so, yeah, that's a tradition that will carry on.
Yeah, those are, you know, photocopies of typewritten, pages. And, you know, it's just, and so there's going to be a new generation of mimeographing. It's great to explore those traditions. And one tradition we found about this year that I didn't realize was that the 12 days of Christmas, they aren't before December 25th.
Yeah.
The 12 days start with day one, and that is the birth of Christ. Go through day 12, because that is,
which
in theory.
Makes so much sense.
It does.
Because it goes into January.
It goes well into January. And that the 12th night, which was the big celebration back in the day, the Christmas, the birth was one thing, but 12th night was when the wise men came to the realization that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Son of God. It took them that long. And so that was the progression of the Christmas celebration. And I think this year it would be a great opportunity to say, okay, because when right now, you know, on Saturday, Christmas is going to be over, right? The whole Christmas season kind of ends. The music stops on the radio.
Oh, I know.
And everything
else.
And I see that as we have the opportunity now to have kind of a blank slate, because there's really nothing that happens. New Year's is in there, but still, it's almost like a celebration desert for the next little while in comparison. So if we take those next 12 days and really take our opportunity to celebrate the things that are important, you know, the less commercial things and enjoy that, it's kind of an open palette for us, and we can build some traditions as a community or as a family.
I love that. The regular commercial Christmas up until Christmas Day that we always have, that we're used to. But if we all take the 12 days after Christmas and we really do focus on the things that the Christmas tradition began with, which was the loving our family, being selfless and giving not gifts of commercial value, but gifts of a personal value. That could be a sweet letter. It could be a video of grandma or grandpa.
Could be just a dinner.
It could just be a dinner or a family gathering or remembering to take cookies to a loved one. Why don't we try and start a new tradition in this valley where the 12 days after Christmas are a celebration of love, selflessness, and giving, not of commercial gifts, but of personal gifts.
And if you would share that intent with us, let us know that you want to do that. We would really appreciate it. And also, tell us later how the experience went and how that may have affected. Because we just think it'd be great to see that happen. You know, again, there's this opportunity, this open palette that anybody can build their own traditions on in that next 12 days after Christmas.
And can we just remember that regardless of your religious or spiritual belief, when someone is saying Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever it is, the intent is of kindness and love and good intentions. So don't ever be offended by the choice of words. Remember, it's the intent of words. So I hope you all have a very wonderful, merry, happy holiday season.
And that number again is 435-477-6999. We look forward to talking to you next week.
We'd absolutely love to hear from you. Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm.